This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
First of all, happy birthday, everybody. Thank welcome you, aboard. Friend. It is a Burgundy and Gold game day right here on the Team 980. We'll take you through over the next 3 hours. We'll take your calls, all that good stuff. We'll have an extensive game preview. We've got a bunch of topic questions that we want to get into that, surprisingly, the YIC, the main event Messiah, actually liked. I was blown away when I got a return text saying, wait a second, I like what you want to talk about.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. But I will say this about today. And then what's going to transpire tonight, because the hell with my birthday. This is the biggest game in a long time for this team, in my opinion, in terms of relevancy, what it means. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. If they win tonight, I think their chances to win the NFC East skyrocket dramatically because of their schedule down the stretch versus Philadelphia's schedule down the stretch. But I texted you. Was it this morning when I was texting you this? Man, I woke up in the middle of last night, and I was just like, "We're gonna win today."
Mm-hmm.
It was about 3 o'clock this morning. So we're gonna win today.
You just had a feeling.
I had a hankering. The last time we were in prime time on my birthday, it was Monday night in Philadelphia.
It was right at this very stadium,
right at that very venue that you're at. So I think that this team is gonna be geeked up to go out and right their wrongs of Sunday. And I just think, man, Jaden has come up big in every big-time spot this year except for last Sunday. How does he bounce back after failing in primetime for the first time last week?
Well, did he fail? I mean, they failed ultimately.
He was not him because in that Baltimore game, I continue to say it coming out, that was their biggest game to date. That was his best performance of the season, in my opinion, when you consider all the things that he didn't have with Brian Robinson, and that was the first time playing without him, and he handled his business.
I thought he was sharper against Baltimore, than Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's also a better defense.
For sure. I would give them credit for that, too.
Better pass rush, better linebackers, better secondary.
I just think the things that Pittsburgh was able to do defensively, I really question whether or not Philadelphia can replicate that, especially if Brian Robinson gets back to the efficient Brian Robinson that's giving you 3.5-4 yards a pop, keeping you ahead of the chains. That matters. It's a key part of this offense. And maybe it's enough to allow Jaden to get back to being impactful as a runner, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, you certainly hope that he hasn't been you certainly hope he's been hampered, or at least in one game, that he was hampered more by not having Brian Robinson and going against a super well-schooled defense than he was hampered by either play calling or by the ribs and them trying to protect something, because everybody has talked, including Jay Gruden, including Doc earlier this week on this show, that, you know, you see Jaden from time to time wince or grimace or what have you on the sideline. It's impossible, you know, for us up in the press box as far back as we are to see inside the helmet and eyes. But then obviously, if you're watching the game on television, you might see that a time or two. So you hope that he has been hampered and or limited at least last week, because certainly I didn't feel that way against the Giants. You felt that way a little bit against the Bears, but not really. They ran read option against the Bears early and several times, and that was his first game back, and we didn't even know if he was going to play. That was his first game back, right? So you kind of hope that he's been somewhat neutralized, hampered by extending plays, making plays with his legs, because without Brian Robinson, the offense presents a different look and a different dynamic. Now, I don't know if you can absolutely draw a one-to-one parallel. Probably not. But I, Matt, what are you doing? Matt's got weird ears on his head. But anyway, you hope that that's been the reason. But then again, that wasn't really the that didn't really stop him at MetLife Stadium 2 weeks ago, right? And Brian Robinson was out in that game. So you got to kind of wonder what effect everything has on each other, right? Sure, Brian Robinson making his return to the lineup tonight, as long as something doesn't go wrong pregame, and by pregame I mean before 6:45 when the inactives are out. You know, you wonder, Linnell, if again, just by getting him back, that opens up some read option looks, some quarterback keeper looks, the mesh, where the defensive end has to honor the absolute give into the belly of B-Rob, because if you don't, and you're just playing the takeoff of the quarterback and the quarterback keep, because you don't fear what's coming in the middle and you don't fear what could crease you on the handoff, you know, you kind of wonder if that psychologically will free some things up for the Commanders offense.
I think it has to. And that is another reason why he, in my opinion, has been limited in the run game the past couple of weeks. The efficiency, the vision that Brian Robinson is running with, and how hard he hits it. It's no disrespect to Austin Ekeler. It's no disrespect to the other backs that carry the football. Brian Robinson is just a different cat. And I think, you know, he has improved dramatically, in my opinion, from the vision standpoint of things. You haven't seen as many of the cutback runs from the other backs that you see with him. The yards after contact is the big thing for me that – he makes you right 9 times out of 10. Even when Tyler Biadasz does get beat, even when Allegretti does get beat, he's breaking the initial tackle of that defensive lineman, yards turning runs contact, right, that should be 2 yard losses into 1 yard gains, or, you know, stalemates. So like that part of the offense is huge. And we talked about it yesterday. Their inability last weekend to have any sort of rhythm or continuity, in large part, was because they couldn't stay ahead of the chains. They were negative plays after negative play after negative play. Mm-hmm. You couple that with the mistakes they made, and you get the type of offensive outing that they had.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you hope that a lot of that, if not all of that, goes away. Now let's not be silly here and think that this is going to be easy just because you get Brian Robinson back, right? I think we all know and understand that it's not going to be easy just because of that. So they're going to have to do some other things, like, I don't know, catch the ball a lot better.
For sure.
Than they did, certainly, last week, right? We all know that was a problem last week. No matter which way you want to color it, no matter what statistic you want to come up with, whether you're talking drops, pure drops, or non-catches or catches that you should have made, it was a problem last week. So Brian Robinson could come back, and Brian Robinson could be Brian Robinson, that if the other parts of the offense are kind of broken,
for sure,
you know, and guys aren't making catches that they probably should make. Not that, again, I went back and I watched a bunch of the drops. Somebody put together like a string of highlights or
what. Yeah.
Like, people call things that are drops that are not drops. They're just non-catches, right, or they're contested non-catches. You know, everybody should know what we're talking about. If we're talking about drops, contested catches, non-catches, what have you, if you have 7, 8, 9 of those over the course of tonight, you're probably not going to win this, even if Brian Robinson is Brian Robinson, even if he is breaking tackles, even if he is getting yards after contact, and even if Jaden is perfectly right, because you have to have everything kind of in sync. Oh, and by the way, what if Brandon Coleman doesn't play, or Andrew Wiley is active but doesn't play again, or Tyler Biadasz gets banged up again like he did last week?
Well, here's my thing.
All of these things can play into, you know, account and take you out of your game plan and rhythm.
You brought up something that I don't think we've hit on enough this week. It frustrated the hell out of me Sunday that Tyler Biadasz, and look, I'm gonna call it straight every time. I mean, you can not like my choice of words. You can say I'm being hard. I'm being objective. You screwed your teammates. You gave a big middle finger to your teammates last week. If you're selfish to put yourself in there at not 100%, and if when it's an ankle injury at that position, your ability to anchor is everything. And we saw, you know, the trickle-down effect of him not being healthy. He got beat like a drum. Keanu Benton, Cam Hayward, we're consistently pushing him back. If that's the case this week, and you're going up against Big Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and Milton Williams, if you're not healthy, man, put Mike Dieter in. Because he's going to get the healthiest guy is going to give you the best shot, man.
Is that Biotis' call, though, or is that the trainer saying, hey, man, he's okay. He's saying he's okay. We think he's okay.
In a game situation, you know, a lot of the times the player, that their voice is.
Yeah, but that's where the trainer's got to stay in. And maybe there was something a little bit wrong, but not prohibitive enough for him to play. And that was kind of the problem. Then it's on the coaches to say,
that's not good enough.
You know, so.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I think it kind of comes in concert with each other. But, yeah, if you're going against those big war daddies in the middle of the Eagles' defense and you're getting your ass beat, then at some point you would expect maybe Dieter to come in and take over the rest of the way, and maybe Biotis, you know, can suit him up back again in 10 days or whatever it is against Dallas.
And here's the other piece of this where you could have a schematic advantage and kind of get Philly out of what they want to do. Vic Fangio's defense is pretty, I'm not going to call it vanilla, but they do an excellent job trying to disguise their coverages and rolling into things at the snap and muddying up that picture for the quarterback. You know, one thing that can mitigate that, as well as Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and company on the interior, if they can get back to the efficient tempo stuff, if they can get back to, you know, catching Philly in a certain package and continuing to do what they do to have success. I think the tempo stuff today is going to be huge as well, especially for that defensive front where they got guys. I don't think they have depth. I don't think they have a tremendous amount of depth. And if you get them tired, that's when you see, you know, the gap discipline and the rush lane integrity kind of fade away as the game goes on. So it all starts to me, though, with Brian Robinson. If you keep ahead of the chains with him, mix the tempo back in, get back to who the hell you've been for the first 9 weeks of the season.
So kind of the question that goes along with that, right? Coach Sheehan was talking about this at the end of his show, and I don't remember the exact number, but they ran, I don't know, like 45 times 2 years ago the night that you were talking about with your birthday, right? And they didn't average more than like 3.2 yards per carry. They were great in the first half of that game. Mm-hmm. They were running all over their asses. And then, now that was without Jalen Carter, of course, because he wasn't drafted until after that. But that was, they were running all over their asses. They didn't have the same success level in the second half, but they still stayed with it. And that's what I want to find out about Cliff Kingsbury. Remember what we were talking about yesterday? Did Cliff get away from the run game in some of these games, and specifically last week, because of the negative plays, because he didn't think they could run against that very good Pittsburgh front? And again, it's not just defensive linemen, it's linebackers for Pittsburgh. And we talked about Patrick Queen all over the place and others. Did he get away with that because he didn't have Brian Robinson? Did he get away with it because he thought something else would work? Like, what happened? So if they establish Brian Robinson early, which I think we would all agree is probably the smartest thing, not only to get B-Rob involved, not only to remove pressure from that offensive line and Jaden Daniels and maybe even the wide receivers, if they get him involved early, again, do they drift away from him, even at times that we've seen with B-Rob in there? Where, what was the game? Was it the Chicago game where they kind of drifted away from
think that was the game he got hurt, though. So. Yeah,
it was, and that certainly contributed. But there's been other games where I think maybe they kind of drifted away a little bit because he was hurt, obviously, before that. He was even banged up in the Carolina game when he came back after missing the Baltimore game. But my point is, if he's ready to go and if he's healthy and it's not an injury situation, does Cliff get away from it slowly but surely over the course of the game, or does he stay with it? And as you pointed out in our little text, is the hammer back, right? Is the hammer going to continue to drive nails into the Lincoln Financial Field playing surface, for lack of a better analogy? Is he going to continue at a rate of, I don't know, can they run the ball? Nobody expects them to run the ball 45 times. Can they run the ball 35 times as a team? They ran the ball 21 times, and not all of that was by call and design last week. Can they top at least 30? If they don't get to 30, I think that's a really bad sign for a lot of reasons.
I would agree with you, and I think the time of possession thing is crucial as well. Like, that's what was so head-scratching about, I don't even want to say head-scratching, what made it feel so bad about last weekend. When you lose the time of possession battle by 13 whole minutes, it's just completely deviating away from what they have been for the first 9 weeks. And you saw it, you know, throughout that game, what they look like when they aren't in control of things. It felt like they were on the defense offensively all game long.
Yeah,
is the best way that I could put it. And it led to them getting sped up. And honestly, I think it leads to the mistakes as well. They never got into a rhythm. And I think that's because the run game was non-existent.
Yeah. I mean, listen, all of these points are, I think we're, you know, pretty much in sync with each other. I know you don't want to get behind the sticks. I know you don't want to get behind the chin. But as I continuously point out, and this is something that all the, again, analytics amigos that hate running the football on first and 10 because it's such an obvious tell and an obvious thing and defenses know how to shut it down. You can have negative plays on first and 10 passes. You can have sacks. You can have penalties. You can have what De'Ami Brown did not once but twice last week, where again they throw a quick out to the sideline or to the outside wide receiver spot, not even like a little tunnel screen where the receiver is kind of drifting in towards the quarterback and in towards the offensive line group, but he's just out there, right? And then all of a sudden something blows up in terms of his blocking scheme, which has happened plenty of times this year. I can't tell you how many times they've run like a quick quick wide receiver screen, right? And where the blocking just, it happened on, I think, the first play of the Giants game back in week two when everybody was all over Terry. They tried to get the ball into Terry's hands real quick, and they did, but the blocking failed. And that time it was Luke McCaffrey, right? And I know guys are not always going to sustain their blocks. I got it. I understand that. We've seen it time and time. As a matter of fact, Jahan Dotson, the final play that I think sealed the deal for his trade here to Philadelphia was exactly what I'm talking about in Miami in the preseason game. It was a quick out. It was a quick wide receiver screen. The blocking, he was basically to be the lead blocker, and he blew it, and he lost his block, and the receiver got blown up by the same defender that Jahan was supposed to block, and I think they were like, okay, we're done with this. And it's happened from time to time this year where you get the ball out, you get a completion, you get what you think is going to be at least 3, 4, 5 yards, what have you. Maybe it's first and 10, maybe it's second and 10, and because the blocking breaks down or because something weird happens, you get what happened twice to De'Ami Brown last week, which turns a pass and what should be a positive into a negative. So for everybody out there that says, oh, you can't keep running the ball if you get no gain or if you lose yard on
you
first,
have
I,
to.
I get it. Yeah. You don't want to, but to your point, you have to, Linnell.
Yeah, and it's all a part of, that's why I keep using the term exotic smash mouth football. I didn't get to say it last week. It wasn't so exotic. They were getting punched in the mouth for the better part of the game. So
wait, you created that term,
well,
right?
100%. It's never, you know, often imitated, never duplicated. But no, it's a key part of what they do.
Right.
It's not as if Philadelphia's pass defense is all world. You're going to have the advantage, in my opinion, against their guys. Now, Cooper DeJean is playing tremendous ball in the slot. Quinyon Mitchell was doing some good things at outside corner.
Yeah.
But Terry McLaurin is top 5 in the NFL in receiving yards, top 5 in the NFL in receiving touchdowns. And as much as Quinyon Mitchell plays press man coverage, Terry has torched it all year long. So if they're going to do that, that's going to be – that's why it's so important to get them to get the run game established. Mm-hmm. If you make Philadelphia crowd the line of scrimmage to stop Brian Robinson and Eckler and Daniels, then you get those one-on-one opportunities outside with Terry. And I like Terry against all of their DBs all day long.
Well, and there's another matchup that I want to explore when we come back that has something to do with the other side of that, because I think what you say is an absolutely good point, but it's another way that this Washington Commanders team can spring a little bit of an upset here. Not that it would be a shocking upset, not that it would be a major upset.
Well, is it an upset if they win? I mean,
certainly that's a question we can explore, right? I mean, the Commanders, I tell you this much, right? Every team thinks they can win in any game and anywhere and any place and anyhow and at any point, whatever. But this team, I truly believe, thinks they can win and thinks they should win. And the question is, will they, of course?
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.